Hey guys, this week's episode is sponsored by Cadence Lending Group, a proud 100% locally owned mortgage company. At Cadence, they believe that mortgage rates should matter when obtaining a mortgage loan. Let Cadence be the first stop when buying or refinancing your home. Call them today at 915-799-1633. Make sure to check out their Facebook page under Cadence Lending Group and also their Instagram under Cadence Lending. All right, guys. Happy Thursday. Well, at least Thursday for me. This is Ozzy. I am your host, I guess, for my podcast. Thank you very much for coming back, guys. So we are in episode 7 happening this week. And like I told you guys earlier, we were in San Diego for the NAREP at Latitude National Convention. And let me tell you, it was great information. There was a lot of information, a lot of classes, a lot of presentations. But it really kicked off with the very first one that we saw, which talked about the Latino GDP, the Latino collaborative released a report to kind of give you guys an idea as to how everything is going with Latinos. In the last 2 years, the Latino income grew over 14%, where the non-Latino only grew 7%. One of the most shocking parts of it is that the Latino GDP contributed $2.3 million to the U.S. economy. If Latinos were an economy all on its own, it'd be the eighth largest in the world. I mean, crazy amount of numbers, huge amount of contribution. The Latino workforce participation in the U.S. is 65%. So 65% of the Latinos are in the workforce compared to non-Latino population, which was like at 60%. Entrepreneurship rates are heavily driven by the Latina community. Latinas created over 50% of all businesses in the U.S. over the last 5 years. I mean, just a fantastic event put on by NAREP and Latitude. Amazing speakers, tons of information that was provided. If you guys go to the Latitude or the NAREP Twitter feed, you'll get a lot of the slides, a lot of the information. Talk to any of the NAREP El Paso board members, and they'll give you know the information that they were able to get at the event too. And then we had some fun. Juanes played a private concert at one of the during one of the days in the evening. We had another concert, ticketed concert, I guess, that we went to. Events throughout our stay in San Diego, New American Funding, Commerce, EXP. I mean, there was a lot of different things going on. The expo that was held. Had a lot of booths, a lot of presenters, a lot. I mean, just a ton of information to take in. Talk to any of the 20 some odd people that went to San Diego and get it firsthand from them. Again, if you guys can attend the conference next year, it'll be in San Diego next year, right around this time, right around the September timeframe. But if you guys can go out there and check it out, I'm telling you, it's incredible the amount of information that you get, the classes that you can take. From branding yourself to getting into the luxury market, from creating your team, hiring and firing. I mean, there's a ton of information, a lot of classes. Always, always have a lot of fun. And then, of course, you make a lot of connections. You know, if you work the room, if you work the classes, if you go to the events, if you're a platinum member, things like that, tons of connections, tons of people that you meet from across the country, and you start making those connections, you really start growing your business nationally. So I won't bore you too much with it. But again, if you guys know of anybody that went, anybody that's on the board, or again, saw any of the stuff that was coming up on our feed, or again, if you don't, just check out the Latitude of the NAREP Twitter feed, and you'll get a lot of the information on there. So this week we have two of my favorite loan officers on the episode. Liz Urbina is a loan officer with Cadence Lending. We got a chance to hang out and talk. And then, of course, Derek Sanchez joined us. So we talked a little bit about everything. Try to make him laugh a little bit. We had some fun. So I hope you guys enjoy the episode. Hope you guys are enjoying your drive to work. Weather is nice.
Sun is shining.
Sun is shining.
If we dropped an album, what would our album title be?
Loans and Hoes? No?
That's perfect.
That's
genius.
Maybe. No, I don't know.
No,
we have to keep it PG.
Yeah, right.
Are you ready for the first question? So I told you I was going to hit you guys with some heat, right?
I'm ready.
No, te creas.
Bring the heat.
Has first question came in from from another loan officer. He wants to know if Tekashi has told on either one of you guys.
If he knows any better, he knows he better not say nothing.
Yeah, no. Takashi's on my payroll. He wouldn't say nothing.
Are you still nervous, Liz?
A little bit.
A little bit?
Yeah.
Who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
You go first?
Yeah.
All right. So you've heard the other episodes, right?
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about how you became a loan officer.
Interesting. So I became a loan officer. Literally, I Googled it. I Googled how to become a loan officer. I was working at a law firm, and you know, I did have some friends who were realtors, and they would tell me about becoming a realtor, and I didn't want to do that. I wanted to do something in finance. And they're like, well, why don't you just do loans? And I had no idea how to do that. I Googled it. I took the online class. And then when I passed it, I sent out my resume and see who would hire me. And Rocky Mountain was... You know, they called me the next day, and I talked to Dean three times. I had three interviews with Rocky Mountain, and the last one, Dean made me do a marketing strategy of how I was going to get business and what I was going to do different. Of course, that was so hard because I had no idea how to do anything.
But what I guess you Googled how to become a loan officer. Why did you want to become a loan officer?
I've had plateaued at the law firm. Like, I had to become an attorney in order to do something different. So I have a finance background, and so I wanted to do something with my finance major, but still wanting to help people. And I felt like that was going to be, like, the perfect medium. I was going to be able to help people and still do some type of financing.
Did you know somebody in real estate already?
Yeah. I knew my friend, Edit. And so he was like, I can, you know, how that is. He's so positive. And
he can get things done.
Yeah, he'll get things done. He's like, send me your resume. I'll get you a job. And I actually hesitated a little because I had no idea, you know.
Was this much fun? Look at Derek.
Yeah, I know. We're having tons of fun.
Yeah.
We're podcasting right? now. Like, can I put that on my business card?
Yes. Apart from...
add it to your resume.
Yeah.
He's also the resumes, director of IT. Resume.
Podcast, complete it.
Oh, yeah. It's already on there, man. I added it before you even got here.
I sent my resume to Edit, and I got a call from Gracie, who was the sales manager at the time. And I met with Gracie the first time. And then I met with Dean, the second interview. And then my third interview was with Dean and Gracie. And then Gracie called me and she said I had the job. And it was funny because at the law firm, I had to do like conferences and I had to travel. And she literally called me like a week before I was leaving to Houston. And I said, can you just give me some time? I cannot quit before I go on this trip because they'll make me pay it back. So I'm like, I need to go on this trip and then I'll quit when they come back. I was going to Houston for a conference for a week, but it was expensive and I didn't want to have to pay it back. So she was like, yeah, no problem. So
what did you do before the law firm?
Before the law firm? Before the law firm, I lived in San Antonio.
Okay.
So I worked at the San Antonio Food Bank. I did like social services. So I would basically just drive around the different rural counties and talk about like food stamps and WIC and like government programs. Mm-hmm. So that's what I did.
How long did you do that for?
I was at the food bank for about 2 years.
For 2 years? What took you to San Antonio?
I was bored here. I wanted to do something different. Yeah. I think that I was very young. I was 19. My cousin lived over there, and she was like, well, just come over here. It all seemed very easy when you're 19. So I lived, like, the next month, I've known these people since elementary school. I had the same friends at Americas, and I wanted something different. Mm-hmm. And so almost like I just up and left to San Antonio, I just up and left to a different high school. I didn't even live in that area. I had to put my grandma's address.
Are you hearing that? EPISD?
Yeah.
Are you hearing that?
I'm so sorry.
They got a unit rolling out here right now.
Please don't charge me.
So class of 05 in Del Valle?
Del Valle.
Okay. What year did you graduate?
I graduated high school in 2006.
2006?
You're younger
2006.
Than me?
Yeah.
Oh,
we've had this conversation before, Liz. I don't know
so
if you remember.
So sad.
What age? How old are you guys?
I'm 31.
You're 31?
I'm 32.
And you're 32. Okay. So you graduate 06 from where?
Yeah, from Coronado. I went to Coronado High School.
Oh, yeah. He's fancy. Like, he's that's too fancy.
I don't know why everybody has that reaction.
He like pretends he's a gangster and he's from Coronado.
I don't know why everybody has that same reaction. It's like, I'm not that fancy, guys.
Were you on the tennis team or were you on the swim team?
I was on the basketball team.
Oh, okay.
But
that's where the hip hop comes from.
Hey, but I got cut in my sophomore year. Okay, it's a touchy subject. I don't want to talk about it.
So you're on the west side,
yeah,
going mm-hmm. to Coronado.
Going to Coronado,
you graduate,
life.
And then how does that go?
Well, when I graduated, I went to UTEP, and I was working, actually for the YWCA, like in the after school program.
Okay,
I was kind of doing that, and my best friend, her mom worked at Bank of America. She was a manager, and for years, she kept telling me that I should apply. So that's where I kind of got my start, I guess, in like the banking and finance, it was Bank of America. So I was working as a part-time teller, I was just, going to school, going to UTEP. I started off pre-med. That was actually my major, I wanted to be an optometrist, mm-hmm. Literally no joke, the first week of college, I was like, I don't want to do this for another like 12 years or however much it's going to be, So like I kind of did the thing. I switched majors a few times, but all the while I was working at Bank of America still and kind of moving my way up. And at my last semester at UTEP, I was already, I had gotten a couple of positions open and stuff. And so I was working as a banker, and so I had to go full time. So I was just kind of like literally changing in my truck, and then going to work right after that, still working 40 hours and going to full time school. So I was at Bank of America for a total of 5 years. I left as a banker, but probably about in 2013, that's my buddy from high school. He from Coronado High School, this fancy place that apparently my buddy from high school.
I didn't have any friends from Coronado.
No? Okay. Well, it's because you're too gangster for us.
Yeah.
I don't think I liked anybody from Coronado.
You don't like me, man?
No. I would say there's
well, like,
a
at the time.
Oh, at the time.
At the time.
Oh,
okay, gotcha. But yeah. Now I'm sure there's plenty of you guys out here.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Plenty of you guys.
Like, yeah.
A small minority.
Just a small one, yeah. But yeah, my buddy Nathan, he called me, and his office, they needed a loan officer assistant, and somebody that spoke Spanish, to help with those clients and everything. So, he knew I was working at a bank, had some kind of financial background, but no mortgage, experience at that point. I went in really green, that was back in 2013. That's when I started as a loan officer assistant. I just kind of, started off there. I was at Cornerstone at the time as an LOA, loan officer assistant. And then 2015, I moved over to GECU. They didn't have any mortgage positions open at the time, so I was doing consumer lending for a while. And then whenever the mortgage position opened up, I switched over again. I was doing that and then, switched over to Westar. Late 2017, so that's when I came aboard with Westar, and then of course now obviously we've as of the end of last year, we transitioned into Cadence Lending Group. So that's how I got where I'm at now.
So both of you guys, I wouldn't say are recent here. You've been here for a little while.
At Cadence. Yeah, I've been here since we opened.
I mean, you went from GCU to Westar. You were there when it was Westar.
I switched over to when it was Westar, and then, you know, whenever we transitioned to become independent, I was there from there too.
So you went from GCU to Westar/Cadence, and then you're coming from Rocky to Cadence. What's the biggest difference? What do you guys like more? Or I guess what's the biggest difference between Cadence now and where you guys were at prior to this?
One thing about Cadence is that's great is the culture here. I think that, you know, it's such a, we're all so close, and just in the, I've been here for a month, and they've all welcomed me with open arms, and, you know, everyone is just wanting to help and for everyone to be the best version of themselves. And, you know, we even have like a group message, and I think that's so great. It's something that I didn't have, where if we have an issue, we like, hey, like, I'm not getting an approval on this loan, and everyone will literally jump in and give you ideas of how to work the loan. And that's so different from where I was. And you really don't know how helpful it is until you have it. So I will say the culture here is so amazing.
Yeah, and I'd say also too, I mean, you know, kind of the control that we have here is really good, you know, because we're kind of like we're lean and mean, you know, like we're kind of like a smaller company, you know, like our goal when the company was set up was not really to be the biggest out there. You know, we're not looking to push the biggest amount of units or the biggest loan dollars each month. We just want to provide the best rates and the best service. You know, those are our two things, you know. So, I mean, I think that sets us apart because we have stayed really competitive with rate, you know. And that's something that we feel is important. I mean, our company slogan is "When rates matter." You know, that's on our business cards. You know, we put it on our T-shirts and everything. So, you know, that's what I've liked about, you know, being at Cadence, is because we, you know, we can compete with that. You know, we can compete with rate and you know, and especially for agents and stuff. You know, I mean, it helps your buyers get put into, you know, a higher approval amount, and maybe get that approval bumped up to something a little bit more.
Okay. One of the things that we're going to do during the middle of this is I'm going to tell you real estate jokes, and then you guys are going to grade my jokes.
Okay.
Okay. First
What's
joke.
What's the scale? Like
1 to 10.
1 to 10. 10 being the best.
Yeah. Well, let's do 1 to 5.
Okay.
Because I don't think any of these are 10s.
Yeah.
We'll do 1 to 5. What does a house wear?
What?
A dress.
3. Solid 3.
Liz laughed like it was a 5.
I just can't help myself. I'd give it a 3.5. It was amazing.
All right. I've talked to a couple different people over the last couple of weeks, and the question about a recession keeps coming up. Mm-hmm. What do you guys know? Since you guys kind of track the market.
Yeah, we do. I mean, it's definitely...
Liz?
Hey, why are you pointing at me, Liz?
I'm going to let Derek answer this.
And the hard-hitting question, economic forecast here, right?
Yes, uh-huh.
I mean, obviously there are signs that there is some kind of recession, or that we could be going that route, you know. But I mean, we haven't felt it on the mortgage side. I mean, you know, the real estate market in El Paso is obviously doing really well, and you know, there's a lot of new construction, a lot of resale inventory out there, and everything. You know, as far as like, you know, a recession goes, is it going to happen? I mean, I don't know if it's going to be the full-blown recession like back in 2008. You know, hopefully it's not going to get to that point. You know, I think just with everything going on in the world right now and in politics, you know, like I think the market's just really volatile right now. And there's like a lot of back and forth and everything. But, you know, it's kind of funny because, you know, obviously if it's a recession, I mean, that's really bad for our economy. And it's really bad, you know, for our 401ks, you know, like I tend to not look at my balance in the 401k whenever stuff, crazy stuff's going on with the economy. But since mortgage rates are tied to the bond market, then it's actually, you know, good for rates. I mean, it, you know, rates get driven down whenever there's the stock market's not doing good.
So what do you recommend? What would you tell newer loan officers, newer real estate agents that... I wouldn't say don't understand what the recession is going to be like. I think there's going to be one, and I think it's going to be a minor one. But yeah. What would you recommend to them to prepare for a recession?
Well, I mean, pretty much, you know, just to kind of stick with it, you know, I mean, you got to prepare as much as possible. I mean, obviously, you know, don't, you know, try to minimize your debts, you know, save up money as much as possible. But you just kind of have to ride it out, you know, if a recession does hit, you know, like you can't just kind of get discouraged and just say, okay, well, you know what, I'm going to, you know, go back to a 9-to-5 job, or I'm going to go just take the first job that I can, you know, like, you know, cause we always bounce back, you know, and if a recession does hit, obviously, you know, hopefully it's not a long one or anything like that, but I think it's important to, you know, to invest in yourself, obviously, you know, like, and keep up your business, keep growing. Because, you know, whenever it does bounce back, then you'll be in a position to kind of just hit the road running and be where you are, as opposed to, you know, if you kind of get out of the game, you know, when the recession hits and then come back in when it's good, you know, right. And then you lose your clientele, you lose your business partners.
You lose
know.
The momentum.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Okay. I think that you also would want to change your business tactic. With the recession, you do get lower interest rates, and that's where you have the opportunity to do a lot of refinances. And so One, I don't think that El Paso will feel it as much. I think El Paso is very unique in where I think that the market will still be good, but you can do a lot of refinances. And so that will allow you to still have some business and still create some relationships. And that way, when it gets better, then you can do purchases.
Okay. Kind of feels like we're insulated, like almost, or like, you know. Like we're the outlier, you know.
Yeah.
Like it kind of like, you know.
Even the last time around, it was kind of like that. Yeah. I mean, you could feel it, but mm-hmm. It wasn't. And people, I guess, people that were unprepared,
right,
are the
right.
ones that really kind of felt it.
Yeah.
When you know how to scale back and what to do and where to spend and where not to spend,
mm-hmm. Right,
you can survive it.
Yeah.
Right? Walk us through your daily routine, Liz. Wake up in the morning.
Wake up go in to the district. Morning.
How's Pam? Is Pam?
Pam's great.
She's great.
It was her birthday yesterday. Shout out to Pam.
Happy birthday. Really? Oh, shout out to Pam. Happy birthday, Pam. Pam, happy birthday.
Pam.
Yes, Pam. Pam. Say hi to Pam for me.
And then? I don't go to district that much. Thanks for putting me on the spot, Ozzy.
Maybe I'm just pursuing a district sponsorship. Yeah?
You know? Hey.
Let me do my thing.
I know some people.
Can you get that set up for me?
Yeah, like I can see what I can do for you. I don't go that often because parking is not that great. But I have made my fellow loan officers go already. And they loved it. So my daily routine is I get up in the morning. I usually stop at Starbucks. I'm sorry, Pam. They have drive-thru. And then I get to the office. Catch up on emails. I think that a routine for a loan officer is non-existent. I don't think that you can have like a set routine. Every day is so different. And only because your clients are so different, every loan is different. And so you might get pulled into a meeting. Your client might just walk in. Like I had one yesterday, she just walked in. And so you kind of have to leave your day like open a little bit for that. And also, you know, we set up a lot of meetings. We set up a lot of lunches. Right now, you know, we just had the parade of homes. And so we're just, you know, following up on those contacts that we made. And but there's not really a set routine. Do you have one?
Well, I'm
Derek gets here at the crack of dawn.
Yeah, not the crack. I mean, like 8 o'clock. I mean, it's still kind of early. I think, you know, like in the real estate world. I think
8 o'clock. That's when you get your day started.
Well, that's when I walk into the office usually.
You walk into the office at 8 in the morning.
Usually like 8, I thought you got 8, here 8:30. Earlier.
No, not that early.
Okay.
Depending on traffic and depending on.
Do you have keys to the building, or does Caroline beat you here?
No,
she usually doesn't, huh?
Caroline likes to think she's the boss, but you know,
it's Caroline.
Caroline.
Ozzy.
Carol? I've always called you. You've never corrected me. Ever in the history of us knowing each other have you corrected me.
This
just went south. Yeah, it went real south.
We're going to cut that.
We're going to edit that out. David, please.
Put it in post, right? But no, yes.
If you want to be safe,
I can
call
feel
her
Carolina. Eyes piercing through my back. I think there's somebody in the front. I think there's somebody at reception.
She's giving you the silent treatment. Carolyn, it's going to be fine.
Well,
back to the conversation.
I do have keys to the conversation. to the conversation. Yeah, see, like this whole podcast is derailed, man. What's going on here?
He's sorry, Carolyn.
Say I'm sorry, Carolyn. Him. I'm sorry, Carolyn. I'm sorry.
Okay, we're good.
She's fine.
So yeah, I do have keys to the building. But I'm very, very much a creature of my habit. I mean, like, I kind of need a routine to feel sane, you know, like whenever I don't have my routine or whenever I'm kind of like out of it, like I feel like I'm going crazy, you know. But I wake up, you know, around 6:30, get ready. And, you know, I'm usually in the office between 8 and 8:15. You know, I try to follow up on emails first thing, you know, and just get all that stuff done. And usually like between 8 and 10. Like the call volume coming in is kind of low, so like I take that opportunity to kind of do as much like computer work and office work and stuff, and, you know, running apps and doing the analytical part of, you know, being a loan officer, and then but yeah, I mean, like Liz said, I mean, every day is kind of different. I mean, depending on what clients you have coming in or what, you know, we're going to like an open house or, you know, doing pop-ins at model homes and stuff. I mean, it's kind of hard to have like a routine, but like, you know, personally, you know, I kind of leave the middle of the day as open as possible, but, right. You know, I, you know, after work, go to the gym, you know, do get a little bit of workout in, try to go like Monday through Friday as much as possible, but that doesn't always happen.
Tell me about open houses. How do you guys feel about open houses? Do they work? Do they not work?
I think they're great to build relationships. I don't think that an open house is gonna, you know, send you so much business or like a lot of clients are gonna walk in. But I think that it's great to build those relationships and meet other agents.
What's your expectation when somebody calls you and says, "Hey, I have an open house, mm-hmm. let's partner up"? What do you expect?
I mean, just to keep the, well, for it to be a partnership, really, you know, I mean, because that's the idea, right? I mean, if you're calling me for an open house, I hope it's not just, you know, just to for a free lunch, you know. I hope it's because, you know, like you trust me as a loan officer and you know that your clients will be taken care of, you know. So yeah, I mean, certainly, I mean, if we sponsor it, I mean, hopefully any, you know, the leads coming, you know, from that event or from, you know, agents or whatever, hopefully, you know, they'll be sent into us so that way we can, you know, help you out and hopefully do it.
Okay.
I mean, I think there is some benefit to open houses. I mean, you know, like Liz said, it's about building partnerships, you know, and making sure that we're all networking and, you know, everybody knows each other. And, it, you know, like for me personally, like it, you know, it kind of gives me a chance to see agents I don't see normally, you know, and we can just, you know, remind them of who we are and, you know, what we're doing.
We'll let Liz do this one first. What's your pet peeve? What's your pet peeve when it comes to realtors?
I wouldn't call it a pet peeve. I think that, you know, we as realtors, you have to allow us to do our job and maybe set that expectation with the buyer that if we need anything, you know, kind of like, hey, whatever they ask, send it to them. Because I think that just makes the process a lot smoother. And so when the agent tells the buyer to trust us, it only makes it easier. And so when you know, if there's any doubt from the agent, it can cause a lot of doubt from the buyer. And buyers are already very nervous about the whole process. It's a big deal. It's a big purchase. And so you want to make sure that they're, you know, they completely trust you and just get you whatever they need.
Yeah, I think Liz hit the nail on the head there. I mean, you know, we're on the same team. We all have the same, you know, the same goal in mind here and everything. And like, if I had to ask you, Ozzy, like, you know, like, what's your biggest pet peeve in an officer? I mean, or you or any agent. I mean, it's kind of like, oh, you never answer your phone, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was Patrick in the first episode. I think that kind of got brought up too, you know. But
yeah,
you know, like the call volume, it's, you know, for each buyer, there's two agents to, you know, to follow up with. There's a builder rep, possibly like the seller, the title company, you know, so the call volume is pretty high, you know. So, you know, as long as, you know, I'm not one to promise that I'm going to answer my phone every time you call me, because I'm not, you know, sometimes I'm on the other phone or the other line, you know.
Okay,
yeah.
All right, all right.
Yeah. Yeah. No, not because I'm ignoring you.
We send those text messages.
Yeah.
Yes. Sorry, I'm unavailable.
Sorry, I'm on a call. Call you
exactly
in
yeah.
4 hours.
Yeah. It's not that I'm going to ignore your call.
I'm getting better.
Yeah.
With no, I do call you back always.
You do.
Yeah. No, I just mean that, you know, sometimes I'm on the other line or sometimes I'm meeting with the client. I can't always pick up the phone, but I mean, just shoot me a text, leave me a message. I know you called and I'll of course always follow up with you, you know? So, you know, as long as, you know, I think if everybody is on the same page about that, you know, then I think it's good, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Joke number two.
I'm going to try not to laugh.
You're going to try?
Already. Right. I'm already trying.
She's already
thinking. What's the difference between a loan officer and an accountant?
What?
The accountant knows he's boring.
That, I like that one. That's a four.
I'd say it's a three.
It's a three?
Yeah, oh, I like that one. Because I think I should be an accountant. Because I'm kind of boring.
You're
not. I'm pretty boring.
What is, are you guys, so this whole thing started with NAREP. Right.
Right.
And I think Patrick was one of the ones that said that if only more loan officers submitted their numbers, you guys would have more of a footprint when it came to the top 250. Mm-hmm. Are you guys NAREP members?
I am.
You are?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think our company is a NAREP member, or if, I think we were going to be getting membership. Or
something. So you guys are going to be submitting numbers?
Yeah, I want Hopefully. To. I didn't do that where I was before because I don't think anyone there did. And to be honest, it wasn't something that they would promote it. And so I think that here, you know, a lot of loan officers are NAREP members. And so, yeah, I would like to. I think that it would only benefit us and Cadence as a whole.
Do you know if anybody is going to the convention this week here locally?
No.
Okay.
No. When, where is it going to be? At the
in San Diego.
Oh, okay.
How many we can go?
Are you going?
I leave. Yeah, tomorrow morning.
Nice.
Yeah, a week in San Diego.
A week? You're going to be out there a week?
Oh, no, it's not. Well, I don't know. It's a couple of days. Wednesday through Monday, I think, something like that.
Yeah.
That
would be fun. San Diego is a fun place.
And I think it's. I mean, if you're submitting numbers and you're going to go for the recognition of the 250. Like really you, the benefit of the NAREP benefit comes in the convention.
I see.
With the networking of like across the country. There's a lot of referrals that come into El Paso. There's a lot of people relocating to El Paso, military stuff. So going to the convention and then getting to know the agents from across the country and then going to the classes that'll show you like how to start your day, how to market, how to lead generate, because there's a lot of classes for loan officers too.
Yeah.
So the national convention is probably, I would say, if you can, make plans to attend next year.
That's really like good. That's like the one to go to.
Where will it be next year? The same, San Diego?
I don't know. They talked about doing it in Miami this year, something like that, and then it stayed in San Diego.
Yeah.
So I would assume maybe. I don't know. They haven't said where it's going to be at next year.
It looked like a lot of fun.
They are fun.
You had J-Lo.
We did have J-Lo and J-Rod and A-Rod were there.
And J-Rod. Is that their ship name?
That's J-Rod. Yes. A-Rod and J-Lo were there. A-Rod actually had a really good, they interviewed him.
Oh, okay.
But it wasn't even about sports. It was about how he has...
He invests a lot, right?
He has a ton of rentals like all in the South. He started buying like apartment complexes and stuff. So he's got like a completely separate book of just real estate. So
that's like his, you know, how like every celeb, or not everyone, but like a lot of athletes have their side gig, you know, like car dealerships or something, you know, but so he's into real estate.
So he's got like duplexes, apartment complexes, things like that. He makes, I mean, according to what he told us, he's
how much?
Well. He does pretty good.
Yeah.
I can't remember. I don't know. I was trying to get a one-on-one with him.
That's such a power couple. I love it.
You like him, huh? Have you seen Hustlers?
No. We were just talking about it. We need to go.
I heard that Cardi B only comes out in like two scenes.
Oh, really? So it's just like whatever's in the trailer.
Did you hear that she's officially a blood?
No.
A what?
Yeah, she came out yesterday and said that she is part of a gang, but not the Tekashi gang. So Tekashi came out and said that she was a member of the, Nine Trey Bloods? And she came out and said she is a blood, but not from that.
You know, right, Liz? Right?
I think you're
in the know with all those gangs, right?
I mean, yeah. You know, I try to, but everyone's going to hate me. I have no idea. I didn't know who Tekashi was. I know.
No, that's it. You can put the mic down.
Yeah, you're just looking at me like.
Yeah, just do some plugging down there.
See, yeah, just unplug it. Yeah, just, you can
Jay-Z step out. All the way.
Jay-Z all the way.
See, because she's like the old. She's with the old school.
Yeah, I'm with the old. I don't listen to new hip hop.
What do you listen to?
You can't understand them. You really can.
No, you can. You can. I mean, and then, there's a handful out there that are kind of. A little too much.
Yeah. I mean, but they're not lyricists, though. You know what I mean?
Like, they talk about, like, the most ridiculous things ever. Or maybe not talk. They rap about the most ridiculous things.
So what do you listen to on the way in? Old school?
Yeah. I'll listen to some Jay-Z, some, like, before he went crazy, Kanye. I'll listen to some. I love Eminem. I've always loved Eminem. I told you you needed to listen to his new album.
No.
His first album was good.
Yeah, the first.
And then this is like a feud we have. I'll listen to some Tupac.
No. Come on.
We fight about it all the time.
I have to say, I'm more of a Biggie than a Tupac.
Well, of course, because he's like a great lyricist, but the songs, I just.
No, I mean, don't get me wrong. I love Tupac too, but you won't catch me saying that back in '96.
No, it was
Biggie all the way.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. Or Tupac. Maybe some Wu-Tang. I'll listen to
you. Just want me to go. She loves it. She'll call me on the phone and then she'll give me a topic. And then she's like, I love your old man rant. I just start going off on the last one we had was on birthday months.
You went on a rant.
I've never called you an old man.
You said that's exactly what you said. Your old man rant. That's what you said.
I feel like you're lying, but I might have said that.
No, I.
He doesn't like Friends.
You know the show Friends.
I never saw an episode until like 2 years ago.
Did you like it?
But actually, I actually enjoyed it. There's like maybe
nothing,
through season one.
There's nothing enjoyable about Friends. It's like slapstick.
Well, I think it's because it's like about nothing. It's just kind of like about, you know, there's not really like a big overarching theme.
He's not having it.
No, you guys are disappointing me. You guys are really disappointing me.
I mean, I'm not an avid watcher, don't get me wrong, but I did enjoy it, though.
No. Joke number 3. You're already laughing and haven't even said the joke.
No.
What kind of building weighs the least?
What kind?
Are you guys even going to try and answer one?
Or no.
No, you're just waiting for the punchline?
Yeah.
What kind of house weighs the least?
I have no idea. You can't even say it.
I'm not clever, man.
You can't even say it. I'm trying to like hold my laugh. So
a lighthouse.
Oh my god.
That was a 4.
A 4?
Ozzy just sat back, looked straight up, and let out like a little laugh. I guess that's a 5
in his book. It's my old man laugh. It's my old man laugh. That's what it is. Thank you, Liz.
I've never called you an old man.
Ah, okay.
Want to make that very clear.
Right. I'm going to have to start recording my phone conversations. Tell me about your most memorable loan. Either it was a good one or either it was a bad, preferably a bad one, right? Nobody wants to hear about that.
I know.
Preferably the bad ones, but give me your most memorable loan.
My most memorable.
You want a bad one? Yeah.
Ideally.
I had a loan and it was fairly recent, it was a very complicated loan and they knew that how we structured it, that was the only way it was going to work, and it involved a father and son, and it gets out of underwriting. We're like maybe a week and a half to close appraisals in, and they asked me for a previous VOE. And that's a verification of employment on his previous job. And it was one that we can get online. So I get it right away. And his current became his previous. And it said that he ended like a week before I checked it. So he quit his job. He quit his job in the middle of the loan. I called the dad and I said, is your son still employed here? And he goes, no. How did you find out? That was the first thing they told me. It wasn't like, we're so sorry. Like, it was, how did you find out? We're like a week and a half to close. And we had been dealing with them for months. So I was.
Do you remember who the realtor was?
I do.
You don't want to say?
I will not.
Okay.
Do you think he or she is going to be listening?
Probably not.
Probably not. Okay.
Yeah. But I did call the agent and I said, did you know this? And he promised he didn't. So I don't think anyone knew. I don't think they told anyone. I think that they thought they were going to get away with it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was almost like a letdown because we worked so hard on it. And, you know, just out of courtesy, you should have just told me.
So what happened? It bombed.
Yeah, it bombed. He was very, very like crucial to the loan, and so him not working was not gonna work.
Why did he stop working?
Because he went to barber school. Yeah.
He stopped working to go to barber school.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. Wow, he wanted to. In the middle of buying a house. Huh?
Yeah, in the middle of buying a house, he couldn't wait. He needed to become a barber ASAP.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is he a barber now?
I don't know. Probably not.
Okay, Derek.
So mine's kind of good and bad, but it's very memorable, that's for sure. You know, I had this client, you know, he was a business owner, was doing very well, you know, and they were buying a, you know, pretty expensive house. And unfortunately, I mean, kind of like in the middle of it, his wife passed away, you know, so she was, and she was a co-borrower on the loan, you know, so, I mean, like I said, it was a very expensive house. I mean, they had other debt, you know, so, I mean, we all of a sudden lost half of the income on that file, you know, so obviously, you know, it created some problems. You know, and it was very sudden too. I mean, you know, like nobody was expecting it, you know, like the family wasn't really expecting it. But, you know, the good thing is that, you know, kind of like once all the dust settled and everything, you know, he called me back and, you know, just asked what he needed to do. They're still interested in the house. We were able to get things restructured. You know, we changed the loan type, had him, you know, pay off some debt and luckily it worked out, you know, so he closed maybe like another 2 weeks after, you know, he came back from everything and it ended up being a happy story, you know, like we went from, you know, being really, really, really sad, you know, but, you know, he was real happy and luckily we were able to get it all together.
Yeah, finally putting it together at the end.
I had one like that.
También?
It was your model home on Woodmanstone.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, there were two veterans buying the house and it was father and son and their wives and the father passed away, like right as soon as we were going to finish and he had the most income and, you know, it was very sad. I remember when they came in, they were crying and we were able to restructure it and just do it with the son and the wife. It did take a few weeks afterwards, but even when they closed, they were crying and, you know, their one dream was for their father-in-law to live there and to see the house and he wasn't able to, but they were very appreciative of everything we did and, you know, trying to save the loan. They sent me like the best review ever.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
That's good.
It made me cry a little. They're so sweet.
Did you play Tupac in the background?
No, this one.
What's your most memorable? Well, no, not memorable. What's the worst experience you've ever had with a realtor?
First experience.
Liz already has one. Liz probably has like three.
Really?
Like, I don't know. You were ready to talk.
No, I'm trying to think. I don't think that they're like the worst experiences. Just some can be a little demanding.
Mm-hmm.
I think when they're new.
Okay.
They're like, why hasn't this been done? And they almost like want to tell you how to do your job. Mm-hmm. So that was it. Nothing crazy. Yeah.
I don't know if I'm lucky or, I mean, I haven't had like one standout, you know, like really bad experience, you know, I mean, like, I guess, you know, maybe sometimes there's either lack of communication or maybe there's just a lack of knowledge in the process, you know, but I mean, you know, other than that, I mean, I guess I'm lucky. I don't know. Again, you know.
Do each one of you has a loan officer assistant?
Yeah, we do. Well,
each
we,
one
we,
of you
we
guys
have
has
a few
one?
In the office. Yeah.
Yeah,
so,
we share them.
Okay, so you share.
Yeah.
Okay.
But we do have a few in.
What does your production look like this year? So people have an idea. Like how many loans do you usually handle, say, a month?
So a month. So, and with this being our first year too, you know, like we. You know, when we transitioned over to Westar, we had to kind of make sure people still knew that we were here, and that we were, you know, like who we were and it was the same team and everything like that, you know. Right. But I mean, like, you know, usually me personally, like, I mean, I think, on average, in terms of files, like maybe like, you know, 8 to 15 files a month, you know, just, you know, and then the busy months, usually
8 to 15 a month.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's that you're working or that you're closing?
That closing.
That you're
closing. Oh yeah. And like in the pipeline there, you know, there's more, I mean, you know, like in like stuff going on in pre-sale and just prospects still looking around and stuff.
How many do you have right now? What does your pipeline look like?
Shoot, like the entire pipeline? Oh, I couldn't even tell you a number. I wouldn't even guess. I mean, just in
he's being modest.
No. It's just because I really couldn't, because, you know, there's like a lot of, you know, people still in like the pre-qual stage that they're still looking for a house or they're fixing something before they can qualify, you know, that kind of thing. So, I mean, that number, I could not tell you.
Is it like over 100, under 100?
Yeah, I'm sure. Oh, yeah, I'm sure it's over 100. Yeah, yeah. But mm-hmm. but I mean that's just people that it's been. That's you know
eyebrow raising going on.
No. Right? But I mean it's people that we've kept. You know, like it's just referrals from agents and you know just people that we've brought in, friends and family. You know, so it's I wouldn't say that you know that all 100 of them are active. You know, I mean there might be some that are still kind of waiting around. You know, but just overall, just like if you look at the system, I mean yeah, I'm sure there's over 100, but. That doesn't mean that I'm actively calling 100 people every month and doing that. No, not by any means.
Okay. Liz?
I think I literally moved like a month ago. So it was almost like rebuilding your pipeline. I did have, you know, some that followed me, but a lot did stay mm-hmm. where I was. And so I think that my average is about like 8 to 12 files yeah. a month. Right now. I have a lot of pre-sales, a lot for next year. And so my October is good, but I really don't know how my pipeline is looking for November, December. I should probably...
You should probably get familiar with that.
Get working on that. But yeah.
Joke number, I don't know what this, four? Three?
Four.
Four?
Four.
Joke number four. Why did the house go to the doctor?
Man, I'm trying to think
of an answer because, yeah, like, I want to answer. Makes it fun.
Why did the house go to the doctor?
No, I don't know why.
I'm not clever.
It had a window pane. That one made you laugh.
That's a three.
What would you rate it, Carolyn? Four.
A four? Yeah, I got a four. Go. I got a four from the studio audience. That's good. Tell me about Mundo. He's a great guy.
Mundo.
Tell me how well do you know Mundo? Like, do you know like his favorite color or like have you used his guest bathroom? Like, what's the level of knowing him?
I've used the guest bathroom for sure.
Really?
His favorite color, if I had to guess, I mean, I don't know, maybe blue. Maybe blue, I don't know. I'm trying to, maybe brown. We're sitting in his office right now. But it's brown.
Yeah, or black.
But I know Mundo's, you know, he's a really great guy. I mean, he's you know, he's a great friend and a mentor, you know. I mean, I really value his knowledge base, you know. I mean, he's the one that pulled me over from, you know, from GCU back at Westar. But the main reason that I moved over was just kind of like his vision for the company, you know, mm-hmm. just like the way, like his plans and everything is kind of like, what made sense to me, you know, and you know, and like I said, you know, for us, like, you know, for the company and everything, our goal is not to be the biggest, you know, by any means, you know, like we're going to just, take care of our realtor partners, you know, take care of the buyers, offer the best rates, you know, just so we can be competitive and, you know, that's what his goal was, you know, and I like that as well, you know, because, you know, basically that it I think it makes things easier on us, you know, because we, you know, when our focus is on the service and just providing, you know, you guys as agents, you know, the best service and giving the buyers the best rates, you know, then I think, you know, we can all be successful, you know, like we don't have to be the biggest to be successful.
Right.
You know, but Mundo, he's real knowledgeable. I mean, he's been in the business for a very long time. You know, kind of going back to, you know, when we were talking about recession, I mean, he stuck it out through the last recession, you know, like he's, and you know, he used to be, a soccer coach, you know, I think you know that.
He gave me a rundown last time, I guess he was a player, soccer player.
Oh yeah,
he's really good player, yeah. College and all that. And then mm-hmm. I think there was an injury, and then he went into coaching.
Yeah, yeah. He's always been a soccer player. He went into coaching. He worked his way up, and I mean, he was coaching the women's national team at one point. You know, for the Olympics. So he was a pretty big deal in the soccer world. You know, and he wanted to move back to El Paso. So you know, he moved back, and that's when he's kind of got into like the mortgage side.
Right.
You know, so he had his own company and that went through the recession too. You know, I mean, a lot of brokers ended up closing during that time. And then that's why, you know, I brought that point up earlier, is because in my conversations with Mundo, you know, like he told me about his struggles, but that he kept up with it. You know, he kept his, you know, luckily he had a really like a good foundation in his book of business that he was able to kind of manage it, you know. And so like they made it through, you know, and that was, you know, with, you know, after that, he eventually transitioned over to Hunt, you know. Hunt,
so he's a pretty good recruiter. He got you from GCU. Mm-hmm. He pulled you over from Rocky. What do you think about
Mundo? I think he's great. You know, in the short time that I've known him, and in our first conversation, he's very transparent too, and his vision for where he wants to be is something that I really believed in, and that's what made me make the move. But one thing that I will say that I've noticed about Mundo is he's always going like a million miles per hour, but he always takes the time every single day to ask you if you're good, if you're okay, if you need anything. And I think that says a lot about him and how he is with his team. You know, he ultimately wants everyone to be successful, and he will work very hard for you to be successful. So he's a great person.
Now, Cinco is also, I mean, I don't know him as well as I do in Mundo.
Yeah.
And I don't know which one is Batman and which one is Robin. But
still learning a lot about Cinco.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tell me about Cinco.
Cinco's a real cool guy too, man. I mean, I would say it's more like a Batman and Superman, you know, other than Batman. I think I'm the Robin in this case, you know, like I'm the I'm the loyal sidekick, you know, okay. In this scenario, you know, and then those are the two meros, you know.
All right.
But yeah, Cinco's a great guy. He also comes from like a lot of experience in the mortgage industry. You know, Cinco, you know, he was in Houston most recently before moving back to El Paso, and he came on in the first National days, you know, before Westar, you know, bought them and merged with them. You know, so you know, Cinco, he's got a lot of knowledge, and you know, he's real helpful, you know, around the office. And you know, we try to you know, like I think daily me and Cinco will meet, and like we'll talk about gadgets and like, you know, nerd stuff, because he's a big nerd like I am when it comes to electronics, you know. So we're like constantly talking about that stuff, and then we're like, okay, so anyways, what do you need help with, you know? So like we'll talk about, you know, where our company's going, and talking about our rates and everything too. And you know, Cinco and I, we usually go to the gym at the same time too. So I get to work out with him. And
are you doing the CrossFit with him?
I'm doing CrossFit. Yeah.
This is at
Forge Factory.
What is it? Forge Factory. That's at Mundo's, right?
Uh huh. Yeah. Mundo is that's his gym. I mean, that's the only reason I'm working, is because Mundo pulled me over. because I did like zero working out before that, you know, and just went from zero to CrossFit all of a sudden. You know, so
how tough is it?
I mean,
how many people here go there?
I would say, like, if I had to guess, maybe like, you know, we have like, I think almost like what we have like 19 people in the office, and I think probably like out of those 19, maybe like six or seven
go do CrossFit.
Yeah.
How tough is it?
I mean, it's tough. I mean, it's as tough as you make it, you know, like, you know, where we go, it's, you know, we're, there's always you can always scale it to your ability, you know, like you don't need to go and, you know, whatever's on the board, you don't need to go all out and do it, you know, like, If you're feeling real sore one day, or if you can't, you know, run because of an injury, you know, you need something less impact on your knee. You know, you can always scale it down, you know, mm-hmm. So like even you can make it as tough as you want it, you know, like if you want to go out there and kill yourself and, you know, get your joints all crazy, you could do that, you know, although they don't, you know, the coaches, you know, monitor you and they're making sure you're doing it right, you know. So that
why do you CrossFit? To eat what you want, or are you like looking to get like the Rock?
No. Well, I guess just to be in shape.
Why are you laughing? You can't be the Rock. You could go for it.
Yeah, I mean, like
I wasn't laughing. There was Carla.
I mean, I've never been the workout type, you know, like I would get bored at the gym, you know, and CrossFit, obviously I've always thought, you know, like I never thought that I'd be doing CrossFit, you know, and like I said, mm-hmm. the only reason I'm doing it is because Mundo owns the gym and he's like, hey man, you're gonna come with me. And I was like, oh well, he's like, no, you're gonna come, you know. So and he would make me go. But it's cool. I mean, it's, you know, it's like the community, you know, like you go to the gym and it's like your community of people. And I mean, I don't do it for any particular reason, but I feel good after a workout, you know, and I feel in shape, you know, that's mainly why I do it. It's not because I'm trying to get jacked or anything, you know, but I think it's just fun. It's just fun. And it's just something like I work out at the end of the day. You know, I'm not the type that gets up at 5 a.m. and goes to work out. I like working out at the end of the day because if I have a particularly stressful day, just go get a workout in and just release it. Exactly. Yeah. Then I go home, shower, and just plop on the couch, and then I feel like relaxed.
Okay. Yeah. Tell me about the other cog that makes the Cadence machine work. Tell me about your
She's amazing. She really is. I think she takes care. Well, we're talking about Carolyn. She takes care of all of us, and she. It's great to have that support, and you know she just takes care of us. She really does.
Yeah, Carolyn's kind of like on top of everything going on in the office. You know, I mean she's her official title is client relations and marketing and stuff. But mm-hmm. you know, she does a lot more than that. I mean she stays on top of like our files as loan officers, because she's like a. The primary point of contact for agents in a lot of instances, you know,
right.
And kind of going back to what I was saying earlier about, you know, the amount of the call volume coming into a loan officer, you know, I mean, basically, you know, Mundo's vision for Carolyn and why he brought her on board was to kind of mitigate that, you know, so instead of, you know, you guys complaining about not calling you back or not getting updates on time, you know, Carolyn's there to help with that, you know, so if I'm busy, you know, like, you know, an agent can reach out to Carolyn and Carolyn's probably in the know about the file. You know, or she can hunt down the update that you need, you know. So, you know, Carolyn is there to help us and make sure that, you know, you guys are getting updates on time and that our clients are taken care of.
Carolyn, who's the number one agent in Cadence?
The number one agent?
Like the one that brings in the most business?
The number one loan officer.
Oh, loan officer.
We're all number one in her heart.
No, but you're talking about... Loan officer?
Mm-hmm.
The number one. Mm-hmm. No, don't do that to me. I can't do
it. Who's the number one loan officer?
Being political.
Production wise, who's the number one loan officer right now?
I'd say it's between Janelle and Derek.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so.
Janelle is amazing. She's so busy, and yet she always has she says she's like the mom here. she really is though. She's like always going 100 miles per hour as well. And do you want Starbucks? Do you want Starbucks? Do you want food? Do you need something? She's just always like wanting to make sure that you're okay.
I mean, I'm assuming there's a competitiveness between you guys, right? Like nobody wants to be.
It's yeah. I mean, of course, it's a friendly competition.
It's a friendly
right. Yeah. Friendly competition.
And
right.
Like at Mundo as well, he's also originating, you know. And right. So I mean, me and him constantly, you know, he's like, hey man, did you see my numbers this month? You know, I'm like, yes, I saw it. You know, and like we have that joke going back and forth, you know, because sometimes he'll beat me, I'll beat him sometimes, you know, and so like, you know, if I like I'll send out, you know, when the production you know email goes out and it's like, oh, you know, like you made top producer this month, congratulations, you know, like I forward it. Or if they don't say that, I'll copy him on the email. I'm like, oh, hey, just am I top producer this month? And I'm like, oh, yeah, like, you know, you are. Congratulations. And I'll say, okay, just making sure that Mundo knows that, you know. So, so it's a friendly competition, you know. Like, we kind of joke around with each other. But, you know, we're not competitive. Like, we're not cutthroat when it comes to it, you know. Like, right. You know, like, we share... no one person is tied to one builder account or one particular agent, you know, like... The important thing for me is that Cadence gets the business, you know, like, so,
right.
If one, you know, like if it's on a builder referral, you know, like if the builder rep or the realtor likes Liz more than me, like by all means, I mean, I want Liz to do it, you know, like I want Liz to succeed too, you know, like we all help each other, you know, and we try to, you know, we try to help each other as much as possible. And, you know, we our team just grew like big time over the past couple months, you know, I mean, you know, me and Janelle, you know, right now are currently the highest producing, but you know, it's because, you know, the new girls coming in, they're heavy hitters from where they're from. I mean, obviously Liz right. came from Rocky. You know, we have Berta Ramirez, you know, transitioned over with us as well. And Susie Gallardo too, you know, so all of those girls, they all bring their own, you know, book of business and their own knowledge. And then, mm-hmm. I mean, we're all learning from each other, you know? So, I mean, they're all rock stars. I mean, like our team is, you know, it's crazy. I mean, they're all really.
So
really
we should, so girls. I should ask this question at the end of next year.
Oh man.
And see probably. Who,
oh, they're going to blow me out of the water. They're going to pull me out of line.
I mean, it is a friendly competition, and it's almost like, what? And you know, but it's great because it only motivates you to you want to be on their level. You want to produce that much as well. And they're just so supportive that you know that, you know, we will get there.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to play Overrated, Underrated. I'm going to give you three different
answers. I will say one thing about Cinco is he knows Spanish, just so you know.
That's Cinco knows, oh yeah.
Cinco
yeah,
knows does. Spanish. Yeah. And
I've
so
heard him, I've heard him speak Spanish.
Yeah, I didn't.
Yeah, Edmundo does.
He
like pocho.
He'll understand so what you're telling him. Yeah. But speaking it, Cinco speaks it better.
Because he lived in Argentina.
Yeah.
Cinco did? I need to convince Cinco to come on too.
Yeah, I think it'd be great.
Yeah, they would be.
They have good stories.
They're so
both have
funny.
A lot of experience and a lot of you know, knowledge in different places. I think that have contributed to like their success as the owners.
That's your guys' homework assignment. Eh?
Okay, we gotta convince.
Yeah,
them.
Yeah.
I think that'd be easy. I think they'd do it.
Oh, the newbie already saying easy.
They're just so good. They're great.
They are. They're really nice. They're really nice guys. I know Edmundo a little bit more than Cinco, but the little bit that I've interacted with him, he's a cool guy.
Yeah, he is. He really is.
We're gonna do Overrated, Underrated. Tell me if you think it's got too much hype. You tell me if it needs more hype, and your reasoning behind it. Ready?
Ready.
iPhone 11.
It's underrated.
I think it's underrated. Only because I really want it.
Why? Why do you say it's underrated? Well, you're a techie too, right?
Yeah.
Why is it underrated?
Don't get me wrong.
I don't think that did a lot of people like line up for it.
I don't know if there was a big lineup this time.
I saw the Apple one and it wasn't that big, and so that's why I'm thinking it's underrated.
Okay.
But that camera.
You think it's underrated?
The camera.
Oh, you know, yeah. I meant. Yes,
you meant the overrated.
The new iPhone is overrated. I'm very big Apple. Well, I'm not a big Apple guy. Like, I feel there's like a stigma to that, you know. But uh-huh. I prefer iPhones over Androids, definitely.
Right.
The new one. I mean, I have like the newest one prior to this, to the ones that came out, I guess, this week.
You have one, the
10?
The 10S. Okay.
Yeah. So like, you know, it's good enough. I mean, I think the biggest difference between the new iPhone was the extra camera lens, you know?
I think it's amazing.
I mean, I don't take pictures, you know? Like, I never taking pictures. So, I mean, that's why I think it's overrated, because it's more the same, you know?
You never take pictures? You don't,
not really.
You know what? Now that I think about it, you're not big on social media.
No, I'm very, very
We
low
need to get him
activity.
On Instagram.
I know, right?
Yeah.
You're a private guy like that.
Oh, yeah, I creep. I do a lot
Why?
Of creeping.
Do you have a like a private one and you don't tell people
no,
you
no,
leave
no,
bad
no,
comments?
You have a Kevin Durant burner account?
Is that what it is? Not that bad.
He like just leaves all these bad comments on random posts.
Derek Sanchez is the best loan officer out there.
He does all his reviews.
Submitted by D. Sanchez. No, I mean, I don't have a burner. I mean, you're friends with me on my Facebook, but
yeah.
I don't know. I used to post a lot and the social media to me, I don't know. It kind of bums me out a lot of time, you know, like it's just kind of, I don't know, like I think I need to curate my feed a little bit more,
yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. So that way it's more in tune with my interests and likes, I guess. I don't know.
That's what Instagram is for. I think Facebook can be more like, you know, you use it more for work and I really don't, I'm not like scrolling on Facebook, but I think that Instagram is great for, you know, those interests that you have. You know, a lot of my feed on Instagram is like interior design or fashion. And so it's like almost like the easiest way to get updated on what's going on.
Yeah, I think Instagram is more like your day-to-day.
Yeah.
Like little instances here and there. Oh, I guess Instagram. Little, and it's more on the story. Like your permanent post.
Yeah. I'm more of a, I don't like that much. That's so bad.
So I had this conversation with my son yesterday because he got in. So I picked him up. He got in the truck. And then he starts going through his Instagram and he's liking every single photo that he's seen, every single photo. And I said, you like everything? He goes, yeah, you share the love. And then I could scroll through my stuff and I could probably like
once 10 pictures. A week.
Right. Yeah. Like I don't like that often. Yeah. And I'm not going to hit like on something that I don't.
Right.
Yeah.
No, he's just double tapping on everything.
Yeah.
And I go more through the stories.
The stories. Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't have an Instagram.
I do have one, but I don't use it.
You don't use it?
Yeah, I don't use it.
He does have one.
Yeah. I mean, especially not for like business wise, you know.
Have you pulled business from your social media accounts?
Yeah. Yeah. From my, I didn't have a Facebook until I became a loan officer. And so I remember Gracie was like, you need to get a Facebook. Like, and so, yeah, I think I do get a lot of, you know, friends that I hadn't, you know, seen in a lot of years or talked to. And they're just like, hey, I'm looking to buy a house. Like, what do I do?
Right.
So I think that Facebook is great for
and
that.
And you haven't?
No. And honestly, it's because I guess I'm underutilizing the social media, you know, like I guess I have a good grasp on it. Like I understand it, you know, and I know how to post obviously. And, you know, but I don't know. I guess I'm more, I like to be under the radar more.
Yeah, you're low key.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess I don't have anything interesting to post about most of the time.
Overrated, underrated, the new Joker movie.
I'm about it.
Me too.
I'm about it.
Okay.
I think Joaquin Phoenix is amazing.
He's one of my favorite actors, honestly. I think he's really good. I'm excited
about
it.
So I'd say underrated?
Underrated.
But I mean, but he needs more hype.
No, that's what I was going to say. No, I think it's just at the right level. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I'd say, yeah. I don't think it's under overhyped. I think I'm like, it's like good. It's like ready to go. Like, I've heard great things about it.
I'm so excited.
And you'll see it opening night.
That's crazy. Maybe that weekend.
Okay.
Yeah.
Opening weekend, maybe.
Opening weekend, I think. Yeah, okay. Just on some
point. Like not like time. Thursday night, like at midnight. That's
all right. Yeah. Are you, if you had to say that you are one or the other, are you more Marvel or are you more DC? And do you know the difference?
Absolutely not.
You don't know the difference?
I've never seen an Avengers movie.
Never.
See, this is the second time. You see, stuff like this, just, this is why.
It's so difficult for me to, like, watch a movie. Like, if you tell me, like, let's watch a movie, I'm like, oh, my God, 2 hours? Like, that's insane. But yet, I'll watch a show all day. Like, I don't know.
It's like 8 episodes.
I think that because I feel like I don't have to give as much attention. Mm-hmm. And, like, a movie, it's, like, all my attention.
Yeah.
I can't.
Okay, so tell me, would you rather, I don't know if you've watched either one.
But answer the question.
Oh, yeah, are you Marvel or DC?
I'm definitely more DC.
Really?
I like DC more. Like, Batman's my favorite. You know, he's my favorite character. Mm-hmm. You know, and I like the DC characters more, like, you know, and the Justice League more. The movies, obviously, are nowhere near as cool as the Marvel movies. I've been disappointed with the DC movies.
Oh, but those, I mean, I have seen Batman when Christopher Nolan directed.
Oh, yeah, the Christopher Nolan trilogy is amazing.
Right.
The Dark Knight is not only, like, my favorite superhero movie, but it's, like, in my top 5 movies of all time. You know. Yeah,
Holy cow.
Yeah, it's up there.
Christopher Nolan is amazing. Yeah, he really is. Inception.
What are your top 5 movies?
Okay, so 2001 A Space Odyssey is probably my favorite. Have you seen
2001 Space Odyssey?
2001 A Space Odyssey. It's like a Stanley Kubrick movie from the 60s.
Yeah, from the 60s.
Like, it holds up. I mean, it's one of those that you got to really, like, give it a good watch, you know? Like, don't do it while you're distracted. Just kind of take the movie as a whole.
Liz, don't watch the movie.
All of its parts, you know?
Liz won't see that movie.
No. I went to the Star Wars theme park and I had no idea what was going on.
Really? Well, I'm going next
week. It was amazing, though.
So I'm excited for it, yeah.
Okay, so Space Odyssey's one.
So that's 2001 A Space Odyssey is probably my favorite. The Dark Knight's up there. I like Interstellar a lot. It's another Christopher Nolan movie, but I like space and stuff.
Interstellar was the intro to Aliens, right?
No. It was the one with Matthew McConaughey, like
2014,
I think. Okay. And then which other movies am I top five? I mean, like,
Star Wars.
I'm a huge Star Wars fan. I mean, yeah, I guess, like, out of all the Star Wars movies, obviously Empire Strikes Back is the best one. But I really have a dear place in my heart to the prequels, too. The prequels of Star Wars, like episodes 1, 2,
like,
and 3.
Like the new ones?
No, like the ones that came out, like, in the early 2000s.
Right.
I mean, obviously, they're not that good movies. I mean, they're kind of cheesy and not as good as the originals. But, like, I mean, for me, that, like, I mean, I was, when episode 1 came out, I was, like, I think in 5th grade. So, okay. Like, it's like a huge nostalgia factor for me, you know, so, and the memes from Star Wars, the prequels are really good too, just FYI, but, but yeah.
All right, Liz?
My top five? Mm-hmm. In no particular order?
No particular order.
Inception is one of them. I think that's a great
good
film.
I really like Inception.
I love
too.
That film.
Okay.
It's one of my favorite. I really like Training Day. I really love Denzel Washington. I think he's amazing.
That was a good movie.
Yeah. Also, like, my girly side, I'm obsessed with Clueless. I have to see it, like, once a month.
I haven't seen that one, like, since it came out, I think.
I think it's...
Yeah?
Yeah. It's probably my most
I can
watched.
Stop. If I see it on TV, I'll stop and watch it for a little bit. Yeah, it's funny.
Yeah.
And Mean Girls.
You know what? I don't watch it as much as I quote it.
Yeah, you just quote it a lot.
Yeah. But I don't watch it, like, not as much as... Clueless, but yeah, Inception, Training Day, Clueless, what else? Titanic, just kidding.
No.
Anything with Leonardo DiCaprio, I think, is also great.
Okay.
Shutter Island.
That was a cool one. I like that one.
Shutter Island was cool. Yeah, that was all right.
The Wolf of Wall Street.
That's...
That movie was hilarious.
I would say that's on my top five.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
It's a really good movie.
I mean, it's so good.
Not only is it a good movie, but it's a good story.
Yeah, it really is.
So,
and it's true, right? Like, I mean, for the most part, most of that was actually happened.
Yeah. Give everybody your words of wisdom, your daily mantra, your final thoughts.
My final thoughts.
I would say, like, just be respectful, you know, be cool. I mean, that's kind of how I go about my day, you know. It's like, regardless of what the situation is, like, I always try to just be a good person and be nice about it, you know. And so, you know, even if I'm upset about something, I mean, like, I try to kind of take a step back. And I mean, if I can't, if it's a situation, like, I try to let my emotions not take over, I guess, you know. Like, I come from it from a logical aspect, you know. So just be a good person, and if you can't be a good person, then think about it logically, and hopefully it turns out okay, I think.
Yeah, no, I was going to say that. I think that you just have to be kind and also not take things too serious, you know? I mean, we have to live our life and you know, just be kind to people and be happy. That would be my words, be happy.
Carolyn, anything?
She's still mad at you.
There's a plug. There's a shameless
plug. It's a shameless plug, but it's worth
it. There we go.
That's why we have you here for.
So I'll take it. You guys were the first tag team to do this.
Yeah.
So thank you guys for doing
being
it.
Being the guinea pigs.
For being the guinea pigs, for testing it out.
We did awesome.
We did do awesome.
Not only were you guys the first team, but you guys are the first male-female combo. Oh,
true.
So we'll see how it goes. Yeah. You guys are shooting for...
It's a high bar to beat there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
You guys are awesome. You guys are really good.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate you.
You guys are friends. You guys hold a special place in my heart.
Of course. Of course.
But Carolyn, like, if you had to... just kidding.
No. There will be no gauge in that. No. Carolyn, thank you very much for putting everything together. I'm sorry I called you Caroline earlier. You forgave me?
She forgives
it's
you.
It's on record for forgiving me.
Ooh.
How many?
10.
Yeah, we'll edit that part out.
That was Liz and Derek. Tell me what you guys thought. Send in your feedback. Send in your DMs. You know, whatever you got. Thanks again for hanging out this week. Thanks for listening. I hope your car ride was a little more enjoyable. I hope your time on the treadmill was a little bit better. However you listen to the podcast, I really appreciate it. We want to thank Cadence, this week's sponsors again. Do a fantastic job over there. If you guys haven't had an opportunity to work with them, or this is my shameless pitch, if you guys are looking to purchase a home and don't know where you stand, let me know. We'll go talk to Cadence, figure out how we can get that done for you. So next week's episode is going to be a fun one. We're going to drop a little snippet of it during the week next week, so you can see what's coming up. But again, we laughed a lot here with Liz and Derek. We're going to laugh a lot more in next week's episode. But again, thank you guys for stopping by. Thank you guys for supporting. And we'll see you next week.